All right, please lie on your back. And so, as we begin today, maybe you can consider yourself in a sort of trimmed down or a pared down fashion. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, if you made a very basic schematic representation of yourself, one way you could do it would be to think of a central line for the spine and trunk, with the head at the top, and then extending out from literally just below the base of the neck there, the two arms, and then extending out from somewhere down, not at the bottom of the line of the spine, which would be the tailbone, but somewhere up above that, in what we might call the tanden, or the middle of your low abdomen. So extending out from there through the two hip joints, through the two knees, through the two ankles, and out through the toes, or perhaps out through the second toe, something like that. And for the arm lines, extending out from just below the base of the neck at the top of the thoracic spine, where the first rib is, actually. Coming out through the two shoulder joints, through the two elbows, through the two wrists, on out maybe the second finger, or perhaps distributing through all the digits. At any rate, the main lines being the idea that you have a line that you could think of as having a direction through the middle of yourself from the tailbone up in the direction of the head, and then from that central line out, down through the two shoulders, through the arms, through the two hip joints, through the legs. There are some other lessons where we'll work with that image, the five lines, very specifically. But today, if you just let it fall into the background and have a sense, maybe simply how the lines relate, how far apart the leg lines are, how they are bent, how they relate to the central line. All right, so now take the feet a little bit apart, not strongly, but wider than, not so they're close, not so they're under your hips, but a little wider than that. And now stand the right leg and sort out what you need to do to take the outer edge of the left foot to the floor. Some people can do that by only turning the leg in the hip joint, but most of us will have to push a little with the right foot and roll the pelvis just a little bit so the outer edge of the foot comes to the floor, and do so keeping the heel long. You could even push through the heel a little bit so that the heel part of the leg is the longest part. And now here, begin to, with a very small movement, lengthen that left leg and shorten it. In other words, push through the heel, keeping the knee extended, and the heel, it's as if you want to push with the heel, and then leaving the leg long in that way, draw the whole leg up. So you push the whole leg through the heel, and then draw the whole leg back up just a little bit. It's likely a very small movement. The knee doesn't bend, the knee stays long. It may just be a millimeter initially. You just creep the leg on the floor a little bit in the direction of the heel, and then draw the heel a little bit up, which means the whole leg. So this is likely an action in the right hip. The left hip will be kind of quiet, and you just as if you're going to push a button, say, with the left heel, and then pull the leg away from that button. Again, it might be quite small. And keep the outer edge of the foot near the floor. You might have to push through the heel to do that. You don't want to strain in the left hip joint. You might have to push through the right leg and roll the pelvis a little to keep the outer edge of the left foot on the floor. In fact, it's very likely that the right hip will be a little away from the floor if you're really over on the outside edge of the leg there. And then you can use the right hip as a sort of reference point to turn the pelvis and push the left heel and then draw it up. But we'll clarify this as we go along. So it can just be a small action here. And try out going a little bit quicker if that helps, that you draw the toes toward the knee a little bit so that the heel is really the thing that's extended. It's rolled out to the side. You're using the pelvis to push the leg down and then draw it up. Likely there's something that goes on in the middle of yourself, the pelvis, to do that. All right, and then leave it. Extend the right leg and rest. All right, come back to this position with the right foot standing, and now take the arms overhead on the floor. Wherever that's reasonably comfortable, maybe the elbows are away from the floor, maybe it's a little more out to the side. Just find a way to rest something on the floor, out to the side or overhead-ish, and try this movement here of reaching through the heel and then drawing with the whole leg, and then using the pelvis to pull the heel in the direction of the head and push the heel away from the head. What is that like? What would you have to do that? It's a small enough movement that you might have a hard time seeing it for many of us, actually. So the pelvis maybe can rotate around the right hip joint just a little bit, use the pelvis to push the heel and then the pelvis to pull the leg a little bit. All right, leave it and rest. You can extend the leg if you like, bring the arms alongside. All right, stand the left leg. Take the arms overhead on the floor and to the degree that that's comfortable and extend through the right heel and roll the pelvis maybe a little to the right so you can really clearly take the outer edge of the right foot to the floor. Partly the leg rolls in the hip joint and partly you roll on the pelvis so that you don't only turn in the hip joint, and try the action on this side, extending through the heel by pushing with the right side of the pelvis and then drawing the leg back again in the direction of the head by drawing the right hip joint up a little bit. It may be quite small, and maybe it's kind of a lateral movement of the pelvis. I guess it's not lateral exactly, but it's a tipping from one side to the other. So if you were in standing, it would be like maybe you'd lift the left leg in order to push with the right. So you can use that left hip joint to push with the pelvis and then pull with the pelvis to draw the long leg on the floor up and down. And if you were to make that movement a little bigger, what happens in the middle of yourself? What happens in the two shoulders? As the pelvis gets involved, so does the rest of the trunk, even if it's a small involvement. And try out making it just a little quicker. You're bumping something with the heel of that extended leg. Does it help to bring the left side of the pelvis a little away from the floor to push with the heel? All right, then leave it. Extend the legs. Bring the arms alongside and rest. All right, extend the right foot again. And this time, with the right foot standing and the left leg long, just a little out to the side and likely turning the pelvis a little to the left, see about if it's possible to take the two hands behind the low ribs on the floor. Feldenkrais suggests here that you stack them one on top of the other. If that's not possible, just see about getting the fingers in underneath the low ribs a little bit so that you impact the movement of the shoulders, of the rib cage, excuse me. And if that's not possible for you, maybe you can slide the tips of the fingers in with the backs of the hands to the floor. Otherwise, just get your hands somewhere near the low ribs. But if you can get them behind the low ribs, between that and the floor, that's great. And with this constraint, the pelvis rolled a little bit to the left. Reach and draw with the left leg now. Push through the heel and pull the leg back up using the pelvis. Now, this is likely a smaller movement with this constraint in the rib cage. But note if you feel anything in the shoulders, if you have to organize the back to extend through the left leg, what happens through the trunk? Try several times to make it a deliberate movement, reaching down with the heel and then drawing the whole leg up. What do you need to mobilize in the middle of yourself to do that? Does it help to push with the right foot a little bit so the pelvis rolls and the right side of the hip comes off the floor a bit? You make it a little quicker. Then change over the legs. Try the other side. So here you roll the pelvis a little to the right, lifting the left side away from the floor to put the outside of the right foot on the floor, extend through the heel and reach down. And then draw the leg up. What's it like on this side? Is it different? Do you do something different in your trunk and rib cage? And again, with this constraint of the hands interfering with the movement of the ribs a little bit, or changing the configuration of the rib cage a little bit, what's it like here on this side? What do you do with the two hip joints? Is there some, maybe you could find a little rotation in the right hip joint as you push the, in the left hip joint, excuse me, as you push the right one down and up, pull it up. All right, and then leave that. Carefully take the arms out from behind, slowly bring them alongside and rest. So as we continue along here in the lesson, perhaps you can note difference in the two hip joints. That is, what movement there is in the two hip joints as we go forward. So take the arms overhead once more and stand the right leg. Take the outside of the left foot toward the floor. Reach with the left heel. So maybe the toes come a little toward the knee, and roll a little bit to the left on your pelvis so you can really take the outside edge of the left leg to the floor. And then lift the left leg in this orientation about 12 to 18 inches from the floor. So the right hip's turned a little to the left so there's some space. And then lift and lower the left leg here using a movement of the pelvis rather than using a movement of the hip joint on the left. So what if you left the hip joint on the left relatively quiet? What would you do with the keeping the leg in the air more or less? How would you use the pelvis and use the right leg, the bent one, to lift and lower the leg? Then exaggerate it a little bit so that when you're lifting the foot away from the floor, you really turn the pelvis and take the right side to the floor. So in order to lift the left leg further, you turn the pelvis back to the right so that both sides of the pelvis rest on the floor. That's it. So you really don't do much in the left hip joint. Of course, you set the leg down and rest whenever you want. If you need a pause there. And when you pick it back up, maybe you can lift the right side of the pelvis and then turn the right side of the pelvis and put the low back on the floor to lift the left leg. So you don't lift the leg on its own, so to speak. You use the whole turning and tipping back of the pelvis to lift the leg. Looking for ease in the left hip joint, maybe even length, that you reach through the left heel to lift and lower the leg rather than pulling. All right, and then leave that and extend the leg and take the arms alongside and rest. As you rest, do you note any difference where you've worked on the right and left? Or any difference in your sense of where the two hip joints are or how you've been using them? Or the way you use the trunk, the low back, in this asymmetrical movement? Right, stand now the left foot and take the arms overhead on the floor and roll the pelvis to the right and extend through the right heel. And maybe you can think right away, if you wanted to lift the leg away from the floor a little more easily, how could you use the pelvis to do that? So that you take the hip, the left side of the hip, back to the floor to lift the pelvis in this case, to lift the leg. And just see if you keep the leg a little bit in the air, maybe 12 or 18 inches, can you lift and lower it around that point by taking the pelvis square to the floor to lift it, and then turning the pelvis, maybe reaching through that left hip joint, which you can feel articulating there, in order to lift and lower the right leg forward and back, closer to the floor and away from it. And of course, pause whenever you want. Just see that the right hip joint is fairly quiet and the left one is the one that's turning and rotating in order to lift and lower the leg. So the left side of the pelvis really comes away from the floor and goes back to the floor. so that you're not simply lifting the left or the right leg, you're turning and tipping the pelvis to lift the leg. So take the left side of the pelvis to the floor to lift the leg. And then as it comes to the floor, the pelvis turns a little more to the right and lifts. Yeah. And we'll clarify this. So if you're sorting it out and you want to do a little more, please do. Otherwise, leave it and rest. All right, stand, excuse me, stand the 2 feet and use the legs if you need to get the hands behind the chest again. If you're doing that, you can stack them one on the other if that's comfortable. So if it's possible, if it's not otherwise, maybe you can just tuck the fingers behind the low ribs so that you're touching rib cage there rather than your low back. And extend the left leg on the floor and tip the pelvis and turn the leg out so that the outside of the left foot comes toward the floor. Now lift it away from the floor 12 to 18 inches as before. Sort out what you need to do that. And now here in this position, reach with the left heel and then pull with the left heel. So the whole left, long left leg reaches through the heel. Push with the pelvis to push the heel a little down and away, and then toward the middle of yourself and up. So not so much in the room, but as if you're pushing something with your heel again and then pulling your heel away from something. You just make the movement kind of simple, a little quick possibly. See what you do with the pelvis to do that. What's the involvement of the right hip joint, of the standing leg? All right, and then switch the legs over. You can pause in the middle if you want first. A rest, but you'll stand the left leg and extend through the right. Lift the right leg away from the floor while you have the pelvis turned, the leg turned, and lift and lower the pelvis away from the, lift the pelvis away from, excuse me, lift the right foot away from the floor and push and pull through the pelvis to push with the right heel and draw with the right heel. So the heel goes down and the heel comes back up through that long right leg, keeping the leg more or less off to the side. What do you do to do that? You push the right side of the pelvis down in the direction of the heel to push the heel away, and then draw the right side of the pelvis up in the direction of the head to draw the heel. All right, and then leave it, extend the arms alongside carefully, take care of your shoulders, rest. All right, stand the right leg and extend through the left heel, rolling the pelvis a little bit and turning the left leg so it's really clearly on the left side, the outside edge of the left foot on the floor. And now once again, lift the left leg a little bit away from the floor, 12 or 18 inches, and just do a simple swinging movement of the leg left and right. So now there's not a lot of movement in the right hip, the supporting leg, and most of the movement is in the left hip joint. So there's a difference there. And then set the leg down for a moment. Now turn the pelvis and lift the leg, the left leg rolled out to the side, and try the lifting and lowering toward the floor and away movement again. So now there's not a lot of action in the left hip joint. You use the right hip joint and the turning and tipping of the pelvis to lift the left leg away from the floor and turn it back. So maybe you can differentiate here that something's going on in the right hip joint as the pelvis turns back to the floor to lift the leg. Both sides of the pelvis press to the floor. Maybe the low back presses into the floor a little bit to lift the leg further, and then to lower the leg, you let the pelvis turn, and maybe the low back comes away from the floor a little bit. So there's a differentiation in these two movements in what happens in the two hip joints. All right, leave it and extend the leg and rest for a moment. All right, come back to that position, standing the right leg and extending through the left, and take the arms overhead on the floor. Tip the pelvis and the leg to the left and lift the leg away, left leg a little away from the floor, 12 to 18 inches, clearly away from the floor. And try that action of swinging the leg right and left a little bit so that now the pelvis is fairly quiet and most of the action's in the left hip joint. You just wag the leg left and right. So the pelvis doesn't roll so much this time. Feel the action in the left hip joint and then switch over to using the pelvis to lift and lower the leg with it rolled out to the side. Has an interesting effect on the pelvis to have the leg turned out like that. How do you use the middle of yourself to lift and lower the leg in a way that's easier, requires less effort? All right, and then leave it and rest. All right, stand the left leg, take the arms overhead, tip the pelvis and the right leg out to the side, extend through the right heel, so the leg is long through the heel, and the left side of the pelvis is a little away from the floor, so the pelvis is turned too, just a little bit. And now lift the right leg a bit away from the floor, 12 to 18 inches, and just swing it side to side here, left and right, keeping it rolled out to the side. So now you feel there's a movement that just in the right hip joint as you swing the leg left and right. Find out what that's like. Is it clear that there's not a lot going on in the left hip joint and there's clearly movement in the right hip joint? And set it down for a moment. And Come back to that configuration where you lift the leg away from the floor, taking the left side of the pelvis a little away from the floor too, lifting the right leg away from the floor, and then lift it more by turning the pelvis back to the floor, taking the low back to the floor so that the leg lifts a little bit further, the right leg, keeping it rolled out to the side reasonably, comfortably, and then lower it so you wag it up and down or forward and back relative to yourself, this time using the pelvis to do so. So the right, left side of the pelvis will come away from the floor and back toward it in order to lift and lower the leg in a way that now the right hip joint doesn't have to do so much, and the left hip joint of the standing leg works. So the pelvis and the low back is used to lift and lower the leg. All right, and then leave it and rest. Take the arms alongside, extend the legs. All right, take the arms overhead and stand the right leg. Tip the pelvis and turn the left leg so the outer edge of the left foot is oriented toward the floor, and lift the leg away from the floor again here, 12 to 18 inches, and make a small circle with the left heel. Note which direction you chose. Is it clockwise or counterclockwise? Just see what happens. Is that movement mostly in the left hip joint or more in the right? Likely for most of us in the left hip joint here, although you may involve the pelvis. And then set the leg down. And lift the leg again and return to this movement of using the pelvis to lift and lower the left leg. So as the pelvis goes, you hold it up in the air more or less, and then you, to lift it further, you take the right side of the pelvis to the floor and the low back to the floor, keeping it turned out to the side to the degree that you can comfortably. Just changes the way that the hip joint is, the femur is seated in the pelvis. So lift and lower the left leg using the pelvis and low back. Keep long through that left heel so that you don't shorten in order to do this, but you really use the pelvis. You take the right side of the pelvis away to lower the leg, away from the floor, and then into the floor to lift the leg a little further. How's that going? We're returning to that movement. All right, then pause for a moment. Lift the long left leg again, extending through the heel, and lift it away from the floor, and turn the make a circle in the other direction with your left heel, other than one you did before. Keep the leg turned out to the left so that the outer edge of the foot is more toward the floor. Changes something in the hip joint to do that. Then you could pause, but try, after having done this, using the whole turning and tipping of the pelvis to lift and lower the leg. So take the leg away from the floor, turned out to the left, and use the pelvis to lift and lower the leg. Turning to the left, lower it. Turning back to the right, squaring the pelvis in a sense to raise it. Taking the low back away from the floor to lower the leg to the floor, and taking the low back into the floor to lift the leg. As before. But is it the same as before? You rest whenever you want, of course, or pause, but try a few movements of that. Not circling at this point, but just lifting and lowering the leg. So the left hip joint is more or less out of the action, and the right hip joint is doing more as you take the right hip to the floor to lift the leg and take the right hip away from the floor to lower the leg. All right, leave it. Take the arms alongside and rest. Note if you can tell where you've been working, in the trunk, in the two sides of the rib cage, perhaps in the hip joints, if it's possible as we go along and try the other side to reduce the amount of effort, particularly in the front of the hip there, of the long leg. All right, now stand the left leg and we'll come to the other side. Roll the right leg to the outside so the outside edge comes toward the floor. And note that does something in the right hip. For some of us it's easy and some of us less so, but make it clearly the leg is rotated out to the right, and then also turn the pelvis a little to the right. So the left side of the pelvis comes away from the floor just a little bit. So clearly the right leg is to the right now. And lift the leg away from the floor a little bit and make a small circle with the right heel now. Note which direction you chose. And then leave off the circling and just use this action of taking the left side of the pelvis back to the floor to lift the leg and take it away to lower it. So now there's not so much differentiation in the right hip joint. The leg stays out to the side. It has a particular effect. So there's not much movement in the right hip joint to do so. So you take the leg, the left hip toward the floor to lift the leg more, and then turn the pelvis and extend the low back a little to lower the right leg toward the floor. See, is it different or more or less confusing or clear after having tried this variation here? So you use the pelvis and the low back to take them to the floor to lift the leg. So as they go back, the leg comes forward. As the leg goes back to the floor, the left side of the pelvis and the low back come away from the floor. And pause for a moment here. And lift the, turn everything to the right and lift the right leg again and try circling a little bit in the other direction, extending through the heel and trying the other circle, if you can recall what the first one was. Is this one easier? Can you feel the movement in the right hip joint there, the action in the hip joint? The left one is not so involved for most of us. And then pause the turning, leave the right hip joint kind of alone, and use the left leg, the left hip joint, the turning of the pelvis to lift and lower the right leg again. Now there's an action in the left hip joint, the standing leg hip joint. As we return to this action of putting the pelvis on the floor on both sides to lift the right leg and then allowing the pelvis to turn to lower the leg. Try to see, is it possible that when that right leg is long and there's not a lot of action in the right hip joint, that just when you turn and tip the pelvis, that you can move that long right leg from the handle of the pelvis. All right, leave it and rest. As you rest on the floor, having tried this asymmetric movement on both sides, where do you note work, latent work, or the residual effect of having worked through the trunk and the rib cage, the pelvis, two hip joints? And catch again that image of the five lines. One line going right through the middle of yourself from the tailbone to the top of the head. If it goes through the spine, if you can imagine that, it has a sort of shape. Some parts away from the floor, some parts touching the floor. Note the two arm lines running through the out from just below the base of the neck, top of the trunk, through the two shoulder joints, and so down through the arms and hands. And then the two leg lines, which branch off somewhere in the near the pelvis, but not at the tailbone, out through the two hip joints and through the legs. So take the arms overhead and note how that changes this relationship of the lines. If you keep the lines clear in your imagination and your thinking, now stand the right leg and turn the left leg out to the side. And think how that changes the lines. And then think if there's a way that you can keep that image of the lines in place and use the pelvis to lift and lower the left leg a few times. Taking the pelvis back to the floor to lift the leg, which stays turned out a little to the left. Does a particular thing in the hip joint, and then taking the low back and the right hip away from the floor to lower it. Just try it several times. Maybe a little quicker, maybe a little smaller. Check that you're not holding your breath, but maybe you have a sense of these five lines. What happens through the shoulders and the two arm lines? What can you find all the way up there while you're trying this movement out? And pause for just a moment here. Switch over the legs. So the left one is standing and the right one is long. And note how that's a different configuration of these lines. Now the left leg line is bent and the right one is clearly long. It relates to the extended arm lines in a particular way. Now, here, extend through that right heel, tip everything to the right, and bend and unbend those lines, particularly at the left hip, to lift and lower the leg. the long right leg. And keeping the toes out to the right so that the right femur is turned to the right in the hip joint. And then it kind of stays quiet as the left hip joint works with the turning pelvis to lift and lower the long right leg. And so the back is bent, the back line bends, the pelvis turns to lift that long right leg. There's a little action in the left hip joint to do so as you do so. If you're still experimenting, you're welcome to do so. You can try a little quicker or slower, lighter or larger, keeping the image of the lines. When you're ready to rest, take the arms alongside and lengthen the legs and rest. All right, now stand both feet, right and left knees come forward, and take the arms overhead. So you're a little bit apart on the floor. People and the hands. And here with the both sides of the pelvis resting on the floor, just tip and tilt the pelvis so the low back comes into the floor and the tailbone comes a little away, and then reverse it so that you make some space behind the low back and tip the pelvis so the tailbone comes a little more toward the floor. And note here, if you just make that a simple movement, where do you feel movement up into the head perhaps? The two shoulders. If you make it a little quicker and smaller and you just roll the pelvis up and down on the floor, right through the middle between the two legs. Is it possible in this movement to feel a little action in both hip joints, a similar kind of action since the movement's symmetrical? Pause here for just a moment and extend the left leg. Comfortably turn it out to the side, this time, leaving the pelvis on the floor, square. Both sides of the pelvis are on the floor. And take up this action of tipping again and use it to lift and lower the left leg from the floor. This time, don't turn the pelvis. Just take the low back to the floor, take it away. But keep the leg turned a little to the side in the hip joint. See what that's like. Is it possible to just tip and tilt the pelvis to lift and lower the left leg from the floor? And just make it a little easy, light, quick. Note how that movement carries through the middle of yourself. Maybe even the head is involved. Use the tipping of the pelvis rather than the turning of it to lift and lower the leg. Mostly. All right, then leave it. Switch over the legs so that the left one is standing, and actually bend both knees and try that original movement of just keeping the both sides of the pelvis on the floor and making some rolling it to make space behind the low back, taking the low back toward the floor, and then to tip the tailbone up between the legs. Let's get that going and make it a maybe a little bit of a rhythmic movement. It's a so that the, you just rock the pelvis. Feel how that goes up through the shoulders and the head, through the trunk. Then when you're ready to try it, extend the right leg, roll it out to the side a little, and just so that the right hip joint is in that configuration, and lift and lower the leg using that tipping of the pelvis. So the pelvis rolls to lift and lower the leg rather than turning. So both sides of the pelvis stay on the floor now. So the left side doesn't lift independently. You just take the low back to the floor and away to lift and lower the right leg. There, of course, is a little movement, likely to the side, but in general, maybe make it a little smaller and quicker. Still feel the involvement of the head. The low back, the breathing. And leave it. Extend both legs, take the arms alongside and rest. All right, stand both feet, take the arms overhead, and simply roll the pelvis on the floor, clockwise or counterclockwise. And so the pelvis tips to the side and around as the low back comes away from the floor and into the floor, and just roll the pelvis in a circle on the floor. And note what happens in the head. Make a little circle on the floor with the pelvis. And know what happens in the two hip joints and the two knees as you circle here. Can you find that there's a spot where one knee moves farther down as the other comes farther up? Maybe it's quite small. How that corresponds with the hip joints, the movements there on each side. So the hip folds on one side and lengthens on the other in the front. And then when you come around to the other part of the circle, that switches over. So the action of the two knees, a little bit up and down, that is toward the head and away, and then is involved in a particular use of the hip joints to turn the pelvis, and then turn the pelvis in the other direction and relate those things. And you just roll it around a little. You can try it deliberately or a little simpler and quicker, lighter. A little bigger or a little smaller. Note the movement all the way up to the top of the head. How it relates to the two shoulders. How the knees move away from the head and toward as you roll to each side. And you're welcome to explore it a little bit if you still are, and when you're ready to leave it, bring the arms alongside, extend the legs, and rest. And as you rest on the floor, note if you have a different sense of where your two hip joints are from before the beginning of the lesson. And if the sense of a sort of simple version of yourself in these five lines is clearer, more accessible. Note any difference in your contact with the floor. When you're ready to do so, roll to one side and come to stand. Take your time about it so you in a sense, stay with the lesson. And once you get there, know what it's like in standing to have these two hips, these two hip joints. And we'll call it a lesson. Thank you, everyone.